Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I am David Taffet. Patty and Laurent will be back with us next week. Our show today is Utes. We have a whole bunch of Utes who are with us. Hey, I'm showing my New York roots. Use guys is Utes. And we have with us Julio and Drake, and Elliot's over here, and Joey. And Alex walked in. Oh, okay, so I have a co-host today. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Alex is our intern, our young intern, who I told yesterday, you know, come by and do the show with us because you'll be older than all of our guests. And that's a first. So, welcome.
Hi.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, seriously.
We were just talking a little bit before the show, and we figured a good place to start, because Fort Worth declared, was it today or was it yesterday, is the one-year anniversary of when Councilperson Joel Burns did his big bullying speech in front of the Fort Worth City Council. So this was Suicide Awareness Day in Fort Worth. And I don't remember if it was today. It doesn't really matter. Let's make it Suicide Prevention Week.
I think that sounds great.
That works. Okay. But a couple of you, we were talking before the show, a couple of you had some real bullying problems. Julio, you were bullied in school.
Yeah, I actually was a lot during mostly elementary and middle school.
And what happened?
Well, you know, I was going to say, like, mostly in high school you think you get bullied, but you don't. It's mostly in middle school and elementary. During my elementary years, I was in James Bowie. The worst thing that happened was I usually got picked on, and the worst case scenario was that I got thrown rocks at me for being who I was, and just also because I didn't know the language was a hard struggle through that.
Mm.
So it was really hard on me in that. Middle school, it's just kind of got a little bit better, but never was the same, because I always thought that, you know, being me, it's a good thing, and in middle school, it's like they're saying, like, no, you're wrong. You have to be the same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but it is getting better. How about now you're in high school?
Yes, actually, it's amazing, actually. Coming out to my friends and family, it's actually really good. My mom's okay with it. You know, she might not be as supportive, but she's okay with it. My friends are very lovable. I love them all. They're always nice to me. And being in high school right now, it's like a really good blast. Mm-hmm. It's just like coming out, being myself is amazing. I'm loving it.
Good. Now, Elliot, I met earlier this year. We were down in Austin and lobbying for the anti-bullying legislation that passed the Senate, 100% of the senators. Every one of them, even the one I first heard you tell your story to, all of them voted for it. And the House voted for it by a wide margin, which is great. But I heard Elliot's story, and let's just say she was the head of the Education Committee in tears hearing the story. So, Elliot, what happened to you?
Well, I live in a very small town. I live in NS. And if you know anything about NS right now, we're having tuberculosis scare and everything like that. But living in a very small town, I was expected, since I'm a boy, I was expected to want to play football.
And you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a ballet dancer, so the complete opposite of what everybody expects me to want to do.
That would look great on the football field.
I know. I would be a very good running back. But
or running something.
Running something.
Or dancing back.
Leaping back. Living in NS, I was always expected to be one way. And, you know, that's just not who I am. I'm not a person to go along with the status quo. And it didn't start. I came out when I was 10. And so I was really mature for my age. And for my mom, it was really simple for her because she's very accepting of me. But the one thing that worried her was my safety, around others. That was her main concern. And when I was a freshman, I was actually followed into a bathroom by a group of guys who I didn't even know. I didn't even know them, and they just took turns beating me. And whenever I went to the principal assured me and my mom that he would take care of it and that he would, you know, reprimand the guys who did it. I went back about a week later, and he pretty much said you brought it on yourself and didn't really punish the guys who did it. And that was really hurtful to me, because I felt like they didn't really care.
And the point is, first of all, you were beaten up, which nobody has a right to do. Second of all, you did what you thought was right. After it was done, you went to the principal's office, you reported not just that it happened, you reported who did it, right?
Yeah.
Your mother came in.
Yeah,
and normally when a parent comes into school, they take it more seriously, yeah?
I mean, he told my mother to her face that he would take care of it, and so that alone was just highly disrespectful to me and to my mother.
Yeah, and taking care of it, in that case, it might have been, under new rules, those kids are out.
Yeah.
But you would expect at least he sat them down and talked to them.
Yeah, that's at least what I expected him to do. I mean, I didn't expect him to take full charge of it, but I didn't expect him to just...
Right, so your expectation wasn't even that they'd be expelled. However, under current rules, you could insist that they are sent to a different school.
Yeah, and I'm very proud to have been involved with the lobbying day in Austin, mm-hmm. At the Capitol, because I feel like having had that happen... Now I know that I could have done something about it, and now I know that something would be done about it for other people.
It's vindication. You were right. I mean, you knew that you were right before, but now the state is telling you you're right, and under new policies. Julio, you're in DISD.
Yeah.
Elliot, you weren't. Mm. DISD has those rules. Julio, you said when the school year first started, you saw all kinds of new rules.
Yeah, like, just yesterday we had a code of conduct, and I was seeing, like, how much they have, like, they added two pages of bullying. They had, like, one side of bullying and another side of cyberbullying. Like, they actually added, like, a lot more into it. In a way, I was happy because, you know, bullying is an issue that always happens a lot, and I am very supportive. Like, you need to stop bullying. You need to stop a lot. And it's just, like, just seeing that how much the DIC they put onto it. If I know that, it makes my day.
Do you think, you know, just because it's written doesn't mean it's going to stop.
Yeah, I know.
But do you think seeing it there makes a difference? It makes a difference in how you feel, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, to me, I mean, like, if I ever see anybody ever in my life get bullied in my school, I know for a fact I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to put up with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm always friendly and have a heart to, like, anybody who's alone. I will talk to them. I don't want you to be alone.
Right. Okay, let's talk. We have two others here, and Joey. You said you kind of had a bullying experience, but
maybe
not as dramatic as Elliot's.
It wasn't anything as dramatic as Elliot. Like, what you went through was complete belligerent, and I would have handled it a different way, but personally. But all through, like, junior high and high school, I was, like, badgered, and everybody was, like, come up to me, and they'd bump me in the hallways. And now that I've gotten to high school, like, I've been way more reserved than I was in junior high. And so this year I did come out. Freshman year I came out. And ever since then, it's, like, gotten better. But back then, it was just, like, everybody, like, had something to say to me. It was always something offensive. At one point in time, people were, like, throwing things at me at lunch, like, hitting me with things at lunch. And one day I got a little... frustrated with the situation, and I did handle it properly, and I did try to tell my counselor and my principal, and they were just like, well, it'll stop eventually.
So they were doing nothing to intervene. No. And again, under the new bullying law, at least there was some understanding. In Elliot's case, it seemed like there was none.
Yeah.
But that's no longer acceptable either.
Yeah.
Under DISD policies, they have to intervene and do what they can to stop it. And under state law, again, you can say it was him, him, and him, and they are out of there. I mean, the new state law is serious. They have, you know, Elliot, when we were down there, we weren't sure what was down in Austin. We weren't sure what was going to pass, and we were sitting there, you know, telling stories and explaining why something was necessary. And we thought this little watered down law was going to happen, but they do what they did to you, Joey, and it's going to be no, that one, that one, that one, and you can go to the principal and say, out of here. I, you know, no second chance. Send him to a different school. And to three different schools, even if it's a large district like DISD, because if you have a group that goes from one school to the next, so they start terrorizing kids of the next, no, we're going to split you up, and you're the new kid in school, and, you know, let him get bullied, is basically, and that'll stop it. That'll stop it. Drake, you weren't particularly bullied in school.
Not a whole lot, no. I was homeschooled in high school. Back when I was in middle school, before I really came out as trans, mm-hmm. Back when I was just thought that I was just kind of bisexual, I did get a little, a few kids that would, you know, walk down the hall and you hear someone go, lesbian, or something like that. But, I mean, it wasn't anything.
It was kind of the kind of thing, yeah, he's stupid.
Yeah, I just feel like, eh.
And didn't care about it. Okay, now, three of our guests today are gay. Drake is transgender. And transgender is something that you usually think of, I'm saying usually, okay, so, Alex, your generation and older, you old people, yeah. I love this, pointing out that Alex is old.
if you were pointing out that I was old, you'd be pointing out that I was young.
Because Alex started
like
with
next
us.
Week, we'll start out again.
Alex started with us when he was like all of your age. We think of it more as transgender, you come out when you're a little bit older, right?
Yeah, like until I started here, I didn't really know anything about even being transgender
because
or anything. It didn't happen when I was...
You know, and a number of people that I know who are transgender might have thought about it younger, but really didn't think about doing anything about it till their 30s. Now, Drake, it's much more common to know at your age and to start doing something about it at your age. And by your age, I'm saying teens.
Mm-hmm.
How did you first come out as transgender?
Well, when I started having thoughts about it, like when it started to kind of form in my mind after I... started homeschooling in high school, I told my mom that I think when I was about 14 that I think this might be the case, and she was completely against it, and so I just never brought it up again. And then I did eventually kind of come out a second time more seriously after my dad passed away, because my mom said that if I ever wanted to do anything about it, I either had to wait until I moved out or wait until my dad passed away. And so sadly, obviously, the latter happened first, but then after that, I was like, okay, it's been 4 years, my feelings haven't changed, I'm gonna go through with this, and I was an adult, I was 18, so she couldn't really do a whole lot about it anyway, and she's not gonna just kick me out, and so she dealt with it pretty well, but coming out to my extended family, you know, who, if they were expecting gay, pregnant, something, but when I, and they were all ready for gay, but when I threw trans out there, they were not at all prepared on how to deal with it, and that didn't go over too well.
And you have started to transition.
Yeah.
You actually go to a counselor once a week.
Yeah.
Is it once a week?
Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks. Talking about what? And I don't mean real personal things, but I mean talking about what kinds of things, deciding that that actually is who you are?
Well, people go to, I guess what you would call a gender therapist for different reasons, because some people who are questioning their gender identity, you can go to a gender therapist and help, and they can help you work through that and decide if that's really, you know, you're having gender dysphoria and how the best way to deal with it. Because, you know, not everyone chooses... you know, hormone treatment to deal with their gender dysphoria, you know. That's not always the choice for everybody, but I had kind of already decided in my mind that that's what I was going to do and that's who I was, and I was mostly just going to a gender therapist because that's what you have to do before you can get on hormone treatment, is you have to go to a therapist for 3 months. and they have to write your recommendation letter.
Okay. So you did. Do you think, from knowing all of you are members of Youth First Texas, right?
Yes.
So do you think that there are a bunch of transgender youth at Youth First Texas, aren't there?
Yeah.
I say a bunch. There are some.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch, mostly Drake. Who, but do you think that somebody coming out as transgender in their teens, you pretty much know who you are when you're a teen and have decided, and that's who you are, and it's pretty much set, as opposed to somebody who has lived his or her whole life as one gender and then just all of a sudden has decided to come out in their 30s, that might take more therapy. Do you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that, because one of the reasons that I decided to transition as soon as I could is because when you start transitioning a lot later in life, is you probably already got a job, and you might already have a family, a place in society that has established that you are A or B, and then when you have to pretty much rewrite 30, 40, 50 years of history, not only at your job, but with, you know, maybe your spouse or your kids, there's a lot more that you have to kind of change there. And the earlier you do it, the more and the longer people will have to adapt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I'm not even really in the job market yet. And so once I'm going into, like, a long-time kind of career, they're not going to have to deal with me transitioning on the job, and that you're not going to have that awkwardness because, you know, I'm just going to walk in and they're just not going to know.
You're just going to be Drake, who's a guy.
Exactly.
Okay. As opposed to Elliot, who's, oh my God, he's Elliot. you know, one thing about Youth First Texas is I think it allows people to come out younger and come out a little bit safer. Did your families all know who you were when you went to Youth First Texas? Did any of you kind of sneak over to Youth First Texas first, and that kind of helped you come out to your families?
Well, I consider myself a special situation.
Yeah, we consider you special.
Specifically because, one, I came out at a very young age.
How young?
I was 10.
That is real young.
Yeah. And so whenever I came out, my mom pretty much told me, you know, it doesn't matter, that doesn't really matter right now, because right now you just have to worry about being a 10-year-old boy. Like, it doesn't really matter what gender you like. And my mom was shockingly accepting of it. Like, I wasn't even expecting her to be like that, but she just was. And for Youth First Texas is I've become a very active member there. And what also is good is that my whole family has become actively involved as well. My mom comes up whenever she has time and just is there to give hugs to people. Like, that's just what she does. And my mom's boyfriend comes up and he donated speakers and has worked on stuff. And he's just comes up and hangs out sometimes. My siblings come up there as well. My grandparents came up there for my birthday, and it's just, I'm very fortunate to have the family that I do, because I know a lot of people don't.
Right. We need to take a break. That was Elliot. He is here with Drake, Joey, Julio. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. We'll be back with more from the Utes of Ute Foist, Texas, right after this.
KNON and Poor David's Pub proudly present an evening of marvelous music and finger-licking good food with Charlie Parr on Saturday, October 22nd. Joining Charlie Parr will be Trainwreck, featuring the Right Reverend K.M. Williams and Washboard Jackson, and Dallas Party Blues Band, the 1969. Add to that delicious dinner by Red Hot and Blues, featuring St. Louis Cut Spare Ribs, Grandma's Signature Potato Salad, and more while it lasts. And it's guaranteed you're going to have a heck of a good time. Doors are at 7 p.m. with the music starting at 8. Tickets are available now at KNON.org. Bill's Records, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. Get them now, because they will be more the day of the show. Poor David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas' South Side. Mark your calendars now for October 22nd, 7 p.m., for Charlie Parr, Trainwreck and the 1969 with Ribs and More from Red Hot and Blue, presented by Poor David's Pub and KNON, the voice of the people.
Promote your business or event on KNON. KNON currently has space available to run announcements for you. Tell KNON's listeners about your goods, services, nightclub, concert, or event. Help keep the voice of the people on the air while putting your information on the air. Rates are the best available on Dallas Radio. Call now for more information at 214-828-9500, extension 227, or click on Contact Us at KNON.org to find a sales rep. It's a great way for your business to support community radio while letting more people know about you.
KNON thanks Meyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Meyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Meyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Meyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I am David Teffet, and I'm here in the studio with Alex Hanselka, and we have our guests today from Youth First Texas. We have Julio, Drake, Joey, and Elliot, and I'm so glad I have that written down. It's 7 a.m. still too early for me in the morning, but the voice kind of works. You find yours works now?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't know. I was able to talk on the way here.
Yeah, see? You have to practice doing that. I'm not used to talking still before 9 in the morning. We're just talking about a little bit about coming out to families. Elliot said his family was very accepting. And you said one thing that shouldn't be the case. I mean, it's good that it is, but it shouldn't be the case. You said you're very lucky to have a family that's very accepting. And to me, that's the definition of a family.
Yeah.
We all accept each other, whatever it is. Everybody has something. You know, Alex, but his family loves him because, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. My parents are great. They don't. Maybe they're listening. You're great, guys. You're great. No, they don't. They don't judge or anything. Yeah. Really, they encourage me to explore and not be, you know, into some sort of category or anything.
And I mean, my family. I came out before any of you were born, and which is very upsetting to me. But again, in my family, my mother basically told me she worked at Sarah Lawrence College at the time, big lesbian school. So she worked with, you know, lots of lesbians. She was friendly. Do you know who, have you ever heard of Renee Richards, Drake? Renee Richards, okay, yeah, was a transgender tennis player. Started as a dentist and came out, became a tennis player on the circuit, was ranked and, you know, playing in all the tournaments. Anyway, my mother was friendly with Renee Richards' former wife. So she even was familiar with transgender issues. So when I came out, again, it was at about your age, she was just used to it. So it was, you know. And the rest of my family has been, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, you're the gay one in the family. You know, every family has one. But that's always been the attitude in my family. Drake, you were talking a little bit about your family. It's still new that your family knows that you're transgender. Does everybody in your family know?
See, the way that it gets around in my family is I told my grandparents, and my grandparents know everybody. And so I don't know whom all knows, but a lot of them apparently do know.
And have you found any kind of pushback about it? Have you noticed anybody suddenly treating you differently?
Most of my extended family that knows that I didn't tell, they live in, like, West Texas or East Texas.
So you're not
Texas,
seeing them.
So I don't see them anyway. Okay. But the ones that do know that I do see well, my Grammy will burst into tears every time she messes up a pronoun, and she's like, I'm so sorry, and I'm just like, yes, Grammy. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot of change.
But messing up a pronoun indicates trying to get it right.
She wants to try. I don't think she'll give it as much as she could, because it's just so hard for her to wrap her head around.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa doesn't try at all, and I didn't expect him to. I just respect him anyway, and it's all good. But my Grammy will try occasionally,
mm-hmm.
and then the second word comes out of her mouth, she, and then she'll, waterworks.
Okay. But there's an attempt there. It's not... There's no anger?
No anger, just she thinks I died. And so there's just a sadness there.
Okay.
Dealing with the grieving process of the death of the granddaughter.
Yeah. Joey, you came out to your family when?
Freshman year. So. Okay.
And you're a sophomore now?
Junior.
A junior now.
Yes. Okay. For my dad, it was just like, ha ha, you're a salami eater. Like, it was a joke. Like, his way of coping was a joke. And my mom took it completely the opposite way. She was like, no, you're just going through a rebellious stage in life, and you're just trying to show out and get attention, and that wasn't the case. And so her coping was taking me out of my school, taking me all the way to Carrollton. I didn't know anyone, and that was her way to cope.
And what was that supposed to do for you?
I guess make me less rebellious, air quotes. But it made me angry. Like, I felt like she couldn't... Like, I expected her to be understanding, like, Elliot's parents and other parents, but I felt like she was just trying to, like, make me what she wanted me to be. So the outcome is, basically, a couple years went by, I moved out, and she eventually became more accepting, and drum roll, please, now she's a lesbian.
Oh.
Yeah.
That wasn't where I was expecting the story to go either.
So I'm guessing it was more of like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. She didn't want, like, I don't know. I don't even know. I'm happy that we're both happy with ourselves now, and she doesn't.
Which gives me another idea for another show with the mothers and sons. Who have come out together.
Yeah. And so we're basically handling the same issues together.
Okay, well, is it handling the same... That brings up a whole new list of questions. Is it handling the same issues when you're just coming out as a young person who... and see, to me, this is what's normal. Coming out young, because you know who you are, you understand it... your friends are gay. And again, when I came out back before any of you were born, oh boy, if Patty were here, she would really be enjoying this show.
She really would.
Yeah, she would.
But now she'll just listen later.
Right. I didn't come out in high school, but all of my friends from high school were gay, and we all came out like first or second year of college. So, but all my friends were gay, and, and none of us had a whole big problem with coming out. And I think to most of our families, it was just kind of, oh, okay, and let's go on with it. Just a non-issue. It wasn't a matter of support. It was a matter of just, whatever. That's who you are, and deal with it. I think your mother had lots of issues that you didn't have to deal with. I mean, she had already been married. She had kids.
Six.
She had six kids.
Yeah.
She had to change her life. Basically, so your parents got divorced. Tell us what happened.
My father is a truck driver, and he spent all of my childhood and teenage years working and supporting six kids. So I do respect my father completely for taking a stand and being that shark, like not giving up, just keep going. And they just spread apart. Mm-hmm. Like, she's living her life, and he's living his. I still have good connection with my father and my mother, and. I remember her telling me, like, 2 years ago, when they were talking about getting divorced and everything, she was like, I don't want your attitude to change in school. I don't want you to be like those kids on TV and start acting out. And then I was like, okay, yeah, that's totally me.
Well, so she was concerned about what? About the bullying, about the acting out for it, and...
She was more worried that the fact that her getting a divorce, it'd make me want to show out and be like, oh, my parents hate me, and I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. Believe in that. So I just continue to be me, and
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Julio, you came out to your family how?
This was during elementary and middle school year, because elementary was fifth grade. It's like that year where they changed, you know, elementary sixth grade to middle school. Mm-hmm. Mostly happened around middle school, sixth grade, where I wanted to explore myself and my sexuality, because it was just like, I don't know, it just kind of happened to, I got sexual attractions to guys, physically and emotionally. And so I just like wanted to like tell my mom, but didn't know how to. And then like one day it just happened where she just wanted to talk, like, what's going on? Because she kind of knew in a way, like, I didn't want to tell her that where I had a picture of me and I got kids, of course, you know, relationships I had. Didn't tell my mom. And she found out, and she wanted to tell me, like, what's going on? I mean, what are you doing, like, with this, you know? So I ended up telling her that I'm bisexual, but I really wasn't. I just tried to lower it down to a point where my mom's not going to be tripping. And so my mom, she tripped about it. Even though I tried to turn it down, she still went off. She cried. You know, I had horrible things she said that I wouldn't want to hear. But, you know, it still kind of haunts me. I mean, it's a horrible thing that mom tells you, some things that you don't want to hear. And, you know, I cried at that time, too. And, like, it's just, like, I still remember, like, if it was just, like, a couple of weeks. It's just, like, it's still in my memory a lot.
And so you're how old now?
I'm 17.
And you were how old then?
Around 12 and 13.
Okay, so it's 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, over those 5 years, how has your relationship with your mom developed?
Not too long ago, about, like, maybe I guess this summer, I told my mom, like, straight up that, Mom, I'm gay, okay? We need, like, to get this over with. And I told her, you know, and she was just, like, she kind of knew already, like, guys, but just, like, trying to make sure that I don't like girls at all. It's not, like, it's not going to be anywhere near where I would, like, get any attraction to them at all. And it was in the car, actually. We were going laundry. And I just told her, and she just kind of stayed quiet, wanted to cry, I guess, but just took it in. So I'm like, okay, fine. Okay, I'm fine with it. But I guess she's more okay with it, and I'm glad of that. She's okay with what I am.
Okay, so do you think, or anybody else, do you think that your parents were more worried that you're going to be safe? I mean, what was the big news last year? It was about gay kids killing themselves, right?
Yeah.
What I hope came out of that was, yeah, because of things you people are doing to us. Not because, oh, being gay is this horrible thing, but because... what you're doing to us, now stop it. Do you think that that she was more worried, and all of you, about you being safe and you being happy and you leading a productive life and you having those good things, and the gay is just, we'll work that out and I don't know how to help you with it, but do you think it was that, or more, I want you to be like me and I want you to follow my way of doing it?
I think it was actually both, but way more of the be safe type, because of course it's a big responsibility to be safe and make sure you're protected and getting tested, of course, but also the norm is to be straight, date girls, get married, and it's supposedly less risk in my mother's mind or people's minds that being straight has less risk, so I guess that was also a factor in her concern.
Are any of your brothers or sisters gay? They're not out.
I have 3 brothers and 2 sisters. All my brothers are straight. My oldest sister is straight. And my youngest oldest sister is questioning.
Okay.
But she is most definitely into men. I can say that.
With me, I have a younger brother who has an infatuation with Lady Gaga. And... you know, that to a lot of people is, you know, red flag number one for being gay. And to me, people, that's one thing, like, that right there is a stereotype, and that...
You want to know why that's a stereotype? Lady Gaga filled the American Airlines Center how many times so far? Twice at least.
Twice. I was at both.
But,
oh, God.
Twice, two different times, so really four concerts. More than 20,000 people at each concert. They weren't all gay.
No.
She has lots of straight fans.
No, my mom was there too, so.
My parents love Lady Gaga, and they're straight.
But see, a lot of people say, you know, oh, you like Lady Gaga, so you must be gay. My little brother has some feminine qualities, and I think it's because he grew up looking up to me. And so I feel like if he did end up being gay, I feel like I would be responsible. And
oh, that's kind of like the parents of feel like, well, what did I do wrong? Now, wait a minute. Okay, the rest of you, do you have gay parents?
No, I don't.
No, obviously you don't have gay parents, and you turned out nice and happy, healthy homosexuals. You turned out gay or transgender, not because of your parents. So, Elliot, get that ridiculous idea out of your mind. You don't turn your brother gay. You might have turned him to be more open to things, but he'll be what he is.
I know, it's just...
It's not like me. I usually ask the guest question. I don't usually stop them and tell them, but with Elliot, I can't.
But, like, I just worry about him going through what I went through in Ennis, and so that's my biggest concern, because, you know, I mean, he's always wearing Lady Gaga bracelets and t-shirts and stuff, and so I just don't want him to get picked on for that, because Ennis, you know, if you don't listen to Kenny Chesney, then you're gay. So, I mean...
What you're saying is what a parent says. A good parent says, I want my kid to be safe. Yeah. You want your younger brother to be safe.
I do, because I've been through a lot, and I know what it's like.
And that's why you went to the legislature and lobbied the legislature and had the law changed. And with your big mouth, if something happens to him, you'll march into the principal's office and read him the Riot Act and tell him, no, those the ones doing the bullying are going to be sent to a different school, and you're going to take care of it, and if it's not done within a week, I'm going to bring you up on charges.
Yeah, see, I feel very powerful.
When we're saying illegal, when we're saying what you helped pass now makes all of that illegal, we're talking about you're going to press charges against this guy.
Yeah, and, you know, being at Youth First Texas, I feel like they've empowered me. They've given me the knowledge to be able to know that I can do something about situations like this. So that's very powerful
to
me.
But you didn't turn your brother gay.
No, not at all.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We're talking to the Utes of Utes Voice, Texas. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffin. I'm here in the studio with Alex Hanselka. Drake, Elliot, Joey, and Julio are with us from Youth First Texas. Michael is here with Alex. This is getting over all these names getting completely
probably
confusing.
People have no idea what's going on. Just download it later and just listen
during
again.
During the break, Michael, who drove you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because this one without his car drives us nuts. Michael, okay, you were saying, what was your parents' reaction?
My mother's reaction was very similar to Julio's. She cried. She's okay with it, but she doesn't really want it to be happening. When I told her, first thing she did was she collapsed to the floor and wept. And then the second thing out of her mouth was, am I sure because I haven't been with any particularly gorgeous women yet? To which my response was, I'm not even interested in that at all.
Okay.
Any of the rest of you, similar reaction?
My mom cried, but it was because she told me it was because she was happy that I trusted her. But she still cried. And so my first reaction was like, aw, I just screwed up.
See.
Okay.
With me, I kind of cornered my mom. like, my mom is real big on physical appearance to other people. Mm-hmm. So I didn't allow her, I didn't give her that strength to be like dramatic or mad at me. So I casually said, hey mom, I'll meet you at the movies today. And I was like, well, sit in the top because I like the view of the whole screen. And I brought the guy I was seeing, my first boyfriend ever, Zach Johnson, how you doing? I like brought him to the movies and I was like, mom, this is my boyfriend, blah, 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 you know, the whole spiel. And she was just like, well then, I'll see you later. Like, she left and then texted me like a 5-page message on how I was being rebellious and everything.
My mom was not okay, like, not one bit. I mean, like, for my mom, where she was born in Mexico, being close-minded, always being, like, you know, very treated really bad. I mean, like, if we went back, she's like, you were treated like a slave, even though you're just in Mexico. I mean, to my mom's mind was like, no, you're wrong. It's wrong. No.
And isn't it interesting that Mexico, which now has same-sex marriage...
what?
Mexico City has same-sex marriage... the Catholic Church brought a lawsuit to try to end that. The rest of the country, so the Supreme Court ruled, they didn't just rule that, yes, Mexico City can have same-sex marriage, they ruled that the rest of the country has to accept the marriages performed in Mexico City. So Mexico and Canada both have same-sex
marriage. South America is well on their way.
Oh, they're well on their way.
I did not know that.
And so Uruguay has marriage, and Argentina has marriage, and civil unions in Brazil. And one province in Bolivia is talking about it, and there's a bill in Chile and a bill in Peru. Yeah, lots of countries more progressive than ours. Drake, your family. You talked a little bit about the acceptance and how the family has continued to react. Are you finding that it's changing, that maybe it's just going to take time? Because you're transitioning, and again, we're talking about something a little bit different here. Do you find that maybe as you transition, as you present yourself as male, that's what it'll take the family to see? Or is it kind of the same thing in that, well, as I present myself as gay, but I am in school, I am doing well, I am healthy and happy, and I am doing okay, the family sees you as being okay?
My immediate family, like, I believe my mom and my brother and, you know, my people that I live with, they're totally going to be fine with it. And, you know, like, 10 years from now when I've got, like, facial hair and stuff, it's, you know, totally going to not be a big deal. I honestly don't expect my grandparents to ever fully grasp it, because this is just so outside of anything they could have ever fathomed would happen. And, you know, they're all in little bitty towns and... you know, 6 hours away, and so this is not necessarily an issue that they would encounter a whole lot. So I'm not sure they'll ever completely grasp it.
Are you encouraging them to watch Dancing with the Stars?
No, but my Nana did like to bring up, because she likes to send me weekly emails about how I'm ruining my life. She's a piece of work. She did say, now, you remember Chaz Bono when she was a lesbian, then she got on testosterone and she got fat. That's what's going to happen to you, Draconis. You're going to get fat. I'm like, you obviously did not see her when she was just a big old lesbian. She was fat before that, but...
I'll tell you what, Chaz was on our show. Our show was the first show that Chaz ever spoke as an open lesbian on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 10, 15 years ago, Chaz was on. A couple of things that were interesting. Chaz's mother is Cher, like the biggest gay icon, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe not now, but well, has been. Right. Okay. Well, one of our guests.
Joey's the only one.
Cher was not accepting at first.
She wasn't?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Had a lot of problems with chastity coming out as a lesbian. You would think.
I know.
But upset about all those things, like are you going to be safe? Are you going to, you know, and was just very upset until they really worked it out. They had to go through all that stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of parents, the main reason they're upset is because they're worried about their safety. Because I know my mom was upset, but she wasn't upset because I was gay. She was upset because she would hear on the news about gays being beaten or killing themselves or whatever. And so she was convinced that obviously it's going to happen to me. Like, just no. So she would worry about it. And at first I was upset because I thought, you know, she didn't accept me, but it's not really how it was at all. So
yeah, she was upset. She was upset.
For me, not at me. Right.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
In a way that when
she cares a lot, and then that's really good. So,
Do you think one of the differences between us old people, like Alex and me, and your generation is you've always seen gay characters on TV, right?
Yeah.
And your parents, during the time you were growing up, were watching those TV shows too, and so they saw Will, they saw, you know, all these other characters. Do you think that made a difference?
I would say it did.
And how did it make a difference, do you think?
I mean, me watching Ellen DeGeneres being on that, I mean, like, it just makes me, like, feel like she's not my role model there. Like, I love her. And to me, seeing her, like, you know, being herself, like, I need to be myself too. You know?
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on it?
Yeah. My mom was always kind of accepting. She, back in the 70s, she used to go out to gay bars with her girlfriends because...
Oh, okay, so more is coming out about this.
Well, see, the gays in the 70s had really cheap alcohol. And so, you know, my mom would go for happy hour and, you know, watch the guys dance in cages and all that other stuff. And so, you know, my mom was always, you know, that was in the 70s and this is now. And, you know, whenever I came out, my mom actually seeked out a gay friend to kind of be a role model for me. And so she just, like, she almost embraced it. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to start ironing my clothes for work, and I had a big heavy metal iron, and that wasn't gay enough for me, so she bought me a steamer. Yeah. So, I mean, she pretty much embraces who I am, and... that's good for me.
And that is good. Joey, you're it's just a different situation since your mother came out right after
yeah.
you. So your mother was figuring it out for herself at that time, too.
Yes.
Do you think some of those TV characters might have helped her as well?
She's more of a... She doesn't really watch TV, but I think the books she reads okay. does it for her, because I've found one of her books, and it's just chocked full of stories. And, mm-hmm. So I think she confided in, like, the books and, like, the learning mm-hmm. of it all and stuff.
And, Drake, in your case, there really aren't transgender characters on TV. I mean, there have been a couple on reality shows.
And Degrassi.
on Degrassi, right, but your generation's watching that... Parents are not watching that.
Parents are not watching
that. And it actually has a very narrow you know, number of people. Yeah. It's, you know, a cable show on a like cable station yeah. that you have yeah. to have.
Yeah. With cable.
Yeah. So do you think that's something that has hurt your coming out?
I think a lot of why you would maybe necessarily see gay characters... not necessarily like a trans character, is because I guess like one of the ultimate questions is the end of your transitioning being able to just blend back into society kind of thing. And so that's not really, if they're blended back into society in a show, then you wouldn't know, you know, necessarily that a character was transgendered. Mm-hmm. And I guess that could have hurt it. I don't really know. I did hear one cool quote about how one century was like women's rights, and then it was gay rights, and hopefully this one will be the trans rights. So hopefully more things like that will be popping up.
And with trans rights, we're seeing a whole bunch of, especially government entities, mm-hmm. But actually businesses too, going back and readdressing their non-discrimination policies. Like DISD added it about a month ago, added gender expression and identity to their policies. We're seeing a number of others who are adding those policies, and it's the next fight.
Definitely.
But it's been a fight, really,
yeah,
to get those added. You know, Julio or Joey or Elliot, you almost have an expectation that non-discrimination policy is going to be there in a corporate policy and in a government policy, don't you?
I mean, I do. Like, I expect gay marriage to be legal everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Just like, I just have so much expectation for, like, you know, for the government, like, to be more open-minded, because, like, our generation is more receptive. We, you know, the people that I usually hang around with, it's like, always love me, you know, no matter who. It's just like, I just feel like this generation coming up, it's going to be like more, you know, more equality, like more accepted a lot and more okay with who we are and be ourselves.
Okay, and well, let's talk a little bit about gay marriage. You're saying that you have an expectation, and I think other generations were demanding it, but we know how to negotiate around it.
Yeah. I don't necessarily expect it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a goal, but I don't 100% expect it right now, because I know that there are still a lot of conservative people who are highly against it, and I'm not 100% certain that, you know, it's gonna go completely through,
mm-hmm,
but it's just something that me growing up, I didn't really expect gay rights and stuff like that, because, you know, that just wasn't the norm from the people around me. Like, I grew up in a very conservative Baptist town, and so I always thought, you know, oh, I'm just screwed from the get-go. So I didn't really have much expectation for gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's actually interesting, because, like, for me, I grew up in the mid-cities here in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and while people around me weren't super accepting, I always, because my parents were, I always just assumed that these people were just being bigots, and it didn't matter in the real world because they couldn't do anything about it. Like, what are they going to do to me? And then now that I'm older, I realize they can do a lot. They can still fire us and all that kind of stuff. So,
right, because you know, while many companies have those policies, there's no law to stop anybody from firing somebody because they're gay, and if it's their religious belief and they bring it over into the workplace, unless the company has a policy, then you can still be fired. It's very complicated. So, Joey, again, in your family, you know,
interesting case.
Interesting case here, because your mother came out about the same time you did. Probably your mother's expectation was that you do get married, even if she knew that she was lesbian earlier on. Your expectation is you do get married, but her definition of marriage was opposite-sex marriage,
yes,
and wound up having 6 kids.
Wow.
So she did the traditional thing.
Very much so.
And it wasn't until after that that she just said, well, all these other people are coming out. My son came out. Time for me?
Possibly. Like, I think that my coming out was like the stepping stone for her to pursue what she really wanted to do, and I guess that was to be lesbian and to be happy with herself. And I mean, I'm more than honored to be her crutch to help her transition into being this lesbian and being this happy woman with another woman. Like,
mm-hmm,
that makes me happy, and I think that her doing this is kind of like showing my family that you can be who you want to be and still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Okay, but interesting case. So when are you going to have a big, it doesn't sound like you've had a big long discussion with her.
No, not really.
Okay, maybe it'll be on the air here.
Right.
talk to her about whether or not she'll come on as a guest. That's going to be a really interesting topic. Mother and son coming out together. I like this one. Drake, and we're just wrapping it up here. Our station manager just kind of, yeah, he's in there just warming up the computer for the next show. Drake, in your family, so... And again, different kids. You know what we had talked about doing and didn't get? Give us a little bit of, you had said that your coming out is different than their coming out.
Yeah.
Because there are so many more people who are gay, and at least they have the role models around them. Your coming out was different. Just give us a little quickie on why it was different.
In my mind, it's different because if you tell someone, hey, I'm gay... They pretty much know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that you're transgendered, if you consider like 2% of the population is transgendered, it's just not something that most people really know what that word means.
Mm-hmm. In the gay community.
Even in the gay community, exactly. And some people think it only goes one way. You know, like you can only go M to F. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I think it's different because not only do you encounter, they might not even know what that word means, and then you have to go into the explanation, and then at the end of that explanation you are still pretty much waiting to be rejected in some cases, and it's like, oh, well, in that case, you know, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and then you have to constantly come out to people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're being mistaken as female or male and correcting people, so it's like a constant state of coming out until you are fully transitioned, while when you're gay, not necessarily that. It's not sometimes obvious, but, you know, going to a restaurant, sitting down, or you don't have to really deal with the whole pronoun thing. So it's not a constant state of continuously coming out over and over again.
Different issues. And being at Youth First Texas, do you find just general acceptance among the whole group, and it makes it easier there in a setting like that where you have a whole bunch of LGBT youth, but also, I mean, some who are not, some who are either questioning or just friends of.
Allies.
Yeah.
Allies, yeah. Does that make it easier?
It is definitely easier.
We're at the end of the show.
Oh.
Yay.
And I do want to stop. Right here. I want to thank all of you for being here.
We could go on forever.
Yeah, we're right?
Sure.
We could, and we're going to do it again. This is the part of our show where our producer, Thomas Pearson, usually comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. However, Thomas has been out sick. Our station manager is here. Dave, do you want to come in and disavow any knowledge of us? Did he hear us? Yes, here he comes. Okay. Would you like to come in and do Thomas's job and disavow any knowledge of our existence?
Who are you?
There you go. Thank you very much. And thank all of you. And we'll be back with More Lambda Weekly next week. Next week we have LEAG, which was the very first out and equal employee resource group. They were on our show when they first formed about 25 years ago. And haven't been on since. I promise them that they would be on again in another 25 years for their 50th anniversary. That's it for us here at Lambda Weekly.